Thank you very much. I'm glad that there are some hardy souls that were able to weather the weather this morning. So we're welcome, and hopefully the shiurim will be turn out to have been worth your while. I thought it would be appropriate to speak as we're approaching Purim, less than 2 weeks to Purim, and shortly thereafter Pesach, a subject that applies to women both on Purim and Pesach, and as we'll see also on Hanukkah and perhaps other holidays as well. And that is the issue of Afhein Hayabos Anes. Women were also included. If we look at the first of the sources, the Gemara says in Megillah, on Daf Dal Amud Aleph, of Amar Bishur ben Levi, Noshim Chayabos Pemikta Megillah, Shafhein Hayabos Anes. The Gemara says women are also obligated. Raise them up. Okay. Is it better? Better? Okay. The Gemara says, Daf Dalam and Aleph, in the first of the sources in Megillah, it says that women are obligated in Mikra Megillah as well, because they were also Afhein Hayabos Anes. They were involved in that miracle as well. Whatever salvation happened on Purim benefited the women as well. Rashi explains in the second source, Sha'afal Anoshim Gozer Haman Lahashmi Lahargul Abed Minar Badzokin Tafin Anoshim, because the decree of Haman to annihilate the Jews wasn't only the men, it was the men and the women. I printed for you in the third source, the Psukim, in Megillah's Esther, Paragimel Psukim, Beis and Yud Gimel. Vayikare Sofer HaMelech Vachodesh Rishon V'Shoshos HaYom Bo Vayikaseiv K'chol Asher Tziva Haman, etc. Everything which Haman had commanded the different officers and so on, and he sent messages out in Pesach Gimel to all of the Medinas HaMelech Lahashmid Laharug Alabed is Kol HaYehudim Minar V'Atzake, young and old, Taf V'Noshim, children and women as well. So women were included in the threat of annihilation, and therefore it makes sense to say that the holiday and the mitzvah that commemorates the Yeshua, the salvation of the Jewish people, applies to women as well. That's what the Rashi understands. The Meiri, there in Daf Dalam Aleph and Megillah, wonders, well, it also says Taf V'Noshim, so maybe that means children also. They were also, because it says Minar V'Atzaken, young and old, Taf means their children under the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah. So maybe it's by the same logic going to say that women are involved, are obligated in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah because they were involved in the whole story under the threat of annihilation. So maybe children also should have to be the Megillah. So Mary says no, because at the end of the day, women are not are not obligated in any mitzvahs. So, Einan b'Torah smitzah, Ein b'hem Torah smitzah, the Miri writes in Source 4. Children, ketanim, don't have to observe any mitzvahs. Women have to observe most mitzvahs. Most of the mitzvahs of the Torah apply to women as well. The handful that don't, as we'll see in a moment, but most mitzvahs do apply. So women are certainly obligated mitzvahs in general. They were exempt from certain mitzvahs. But here, the Gemara says that they're not exempt because the threat of the annihilation at the hands of Haman and his followers in the Persian Empire was just as much a threat against the women. Therefore, women are obligated in Mikra Megillah. Okay, point number one. Point number two, the Gemara says in Shabbos, in source number 5, Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Isha Vada Madlika, talking there about Ner Chanukah. Women have to light Chanukah candles as well. Now, strictly speaking, it only has to be one menorah per household, but let's say a woman is living, a young lady lives in a dormitory, a woman lives alone, a husband's away, whatever, women have to light Chanukah candles as well, or they can light with the husband, or separate from the husband. However, women are obligated in the midst of their Chanukah as well. The Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, the same author as in Megillah Daf Dalet, Source 1, of Yeshua ben Levi says, Noshim Chayavos ben Ner Chanukah, She'afein Hayavos Anes. Exactly the same thing. Women are obligated in their Chanukah because they also were involved in the mirror. There, Rashi says, what was the threat over there? In Purim, it's clear, as a pasuk in Megillah Esther, it says, as we read before, "Lahashmi laharug alabed es kol ayhudim minar v'atzaken taf v'noshim." By Mikra Megillah, it says women were under the threat of annihilation, the same as men. What about Chanukah? So Rashi there in Megillah, Chav Gemor Aleph in Source 6, says, "Hayubos anes shegazu yevonim." One of the decrees of the Greeks at that time, the Chanukah time of the Chanukah story, "Al kol besulos hanesuos lehibol tafsar tchila." He says there was a decree, one of the decrees of the Greeks, it was that any young lady getting married would first have to sleep with the local tafsa, that governor or whatever, the nobleman. So therefore that was a terrible decree, that a woman, before she went to sleep with her husband at the time of her wedding, would first have to live with this tafsa. So that was a very painful decree. So therefore, again, when the victory of Chanukah took place, when the miracle of Chanukah took place, the women were also great beneficiaries of that. So therefore, they are involved in the midst of their Chanukah as well. Rashi also adds, we'll come back to this point, there was a woman who had an active role in bringing about the victory of Chanukah. We'll see later what that's a reference to. But that's about Chanukah. The Meiri over there says that, he elaborates a little bit, the Meiri in Shabbos Chof Gimel and Aleph says, what's going on here with this Afen Hayu. But this is really the first time the Gemara and Shabbos appears in the order of the Talmud before Megillah. Shabbos is the first time we find this Afen Hayu Ba'Sanes concept. So the Meiri writes that usually we assume towards the end of the first line of source 7, Afal Pisha Mitzvah Esei Shazman Gromahi, even though lighting Hanukkah candles is a time-bound mitzvah, it only applies certain days of the year, it doesn't apply all the time. And as a general rule, we'll see in a moment, women are exempt from mitzvahs which are time-bound. I mean, time-bound means they apply only at a certain time of year or only at a certain time of day. As opposed to, let's say, giving stock, you can give stock anytime. Kibbutz of Aim, you can do that anytime. Most of the mitzvahs, you do anytime. There are certain mitzvahs that apply only at a specific time. It's called mitzvahs esei shazman groma. So the Miri says, even though lighting Hanukkah candles would also seem to fall in the category of a mitzvah that only applies. I light candles tonight, it's meaningless. It's only those 8 nights that there's a mitzvah. Nevertheless, Noshim Chayavas post says the Miri, Sha'afein haibo sonais. A woman can light the Hanukkah candles, and that can be the light for that household. They're motzi everybody else in the household. Kedin kol ha-mechuyu b'dover, like anybody else who can be motzi other people. If you're obligated in a mitzvah, you can do the mitzvah not only for yourself, but for somebody else. Let's say on Friday night, usually the husband makes kiddush. Not everybody at the table has to make kiddush. One person makes kiddush, and everybody else at the table is yotzei. Most homes, that's how it is. Not everybody at the table makes kiddush. Here, one person can light, as long as you're obligated in the mitzvah yourself. You can do the mitzvah on behalf of others. That's the usual rule. So the Meiri is saying, so when it comes to Ner Chanukah, women are obligated. So if a woman lights in the window, the candles, so that when the household is yotze, we have the practice that everyone in the house lights, all the kids. But strictly speaking, a woman can light for everybody else the same way as a man can. And he rejects those who say otherwise. Just, I showed you quickly, how do we know, where is the Gemara that says women are exempt from time-bound mitzvah? So that's the Gemara in Kiddush and Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph in Source 8. The Mishnah actually stated that women, the first line of that Source 8 is a quote from the Mishnah. It says, Mitzvahs esei shazman groma noshim peturos. Mitzvahs esei, only positive mitzvahs. Let's say restrictions, let's say not eating chametz on Pesach, that applies to women the same as men, because that's not a mitzvah asei, even though it's only limited to a certain period of time. I can eat chametz today all I like, but if it's a restriction, so that applies to women the same as men. But mitzvah asei, shazman groma noshim peturos, not so many of them. Maybe 20, not so many of them, not so many. But there's some mitzvahs that are governed by time. How do we know that that's true? Menolan, who says that that's the case, that women are exempt? How do we know? So Gemara says, Gomar mitfilin. We learn it out from the halachas of the fact of tfilin. Because women are exempt from tfilin. Ma tfilin noshim peturos. Okay, women are exempt from tefillin, so tefillin serves as a paradigm. Tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah. It applies only during the daytime and not at nighttime. It applies only on weekdays, not on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So tefillin is a paradigm of a mitzvah that is restricted by a certain time. It only applies, happens to be most of the time, but it's still limited. There's no tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, no tefillin at night. So therefore, since women are exempt from tefillin, tefillin serves as the paradigm for all mitzvahs, I say, shazman, groma. It's a limit called Rashi, fills in the blanks in 9, Bememotzino, right? We learn out from Tefillin the logical exposition. So then the Gemara is here, but who says they're exempt from Tefillin? How do we know they're exempt from Tefillin? Well, Tefillin, Gamala, how do we know Tefillin they're exempt from? So the Gemara says, no, Tefillin, Gamala, Talmud Torah, Ma Talmud Torah, Noshim Turis, Av Tefillin, Noshim Turis. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the one aspect of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, women are exempt from, because that's a Pasuk in Chumash. As Rashi says, and in the second parasha of Kriya Shema, Tefillin and Talmud Torah juxtaposed. So the Gemara derives through this series of expositions that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, and that's what the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Gimel in Source 10. Kol mitzvahs lo saseh shebetorah, all mitzvahs lo saseh, echad anoshim, echad anoshim chayovah. Men and women are equally obligated in all restrictions, except for certain three exceptions, Bal Tashchis, or Bal Takiv, Bal Yitameh, Kohen Lameisim. Bal Tashchis here means a way of cutting the beard. Okay, and Bal Takiv is cut the hair, you cut off the payas. So that's not relevant to women, so women are exempt, even though it's a restriction. And also, Bal Yitameh, Kohen Lameisim. A Kohen can't go to a funeral, or can't go to a cemetery, only applies to males. But other than that, women are obligated in all mitzvahs, lo saseh. V'chol mitzvahs esesh, mizman lezman, Ba'ena Tadira, any mitzvah which only applies from time to time and is not constant, then Nashim Peturis, and there are exceptions to that too. For example, Chutz Mikiddush Ayom, Friday night Kiddush. women are obligated in Kiddush also, even though it's time bound. You don't make Kiddush tonight, you don't make Kiddush Tuesday night, make Kiddush only Friday night, but that's an exception. Or Achilas Matzah Belele Pesach, eating matzah on Pesach night is also a time bound mitzvah, but that's an exception. Women are obligated. Or Achilas HaPesach, eating the Korban Pesach, we don't have it today, but in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, that's also only a time bound mitzvah. It applies only on Pesach. Nevertheless, those are exceptions. Or Hakel, once every 7 years, all the Jews would come to Yerushalayim and hear the king read certain parts of the Torah called the Mitzvah of Hakel. It was a Sukkot. It was done on the Sukkot following the Shemitah year. So it's only once every 7 years. That sounds pretty time-bound to me, but the Gemara says, no, women are obligated in that as well. And Simcha, rejoicing on Yom Tov, Samachta B'Chakecha. So there are quite a number of exceptions. That's a rule, but then there are many exceptions to the rule. Okay, so that's just the background information. But we've already seen that at least Mikra Megillah and Purim and Ner Chanukah and Chanukah, women are obligated, even though it's time bound, women are obligated, other exceptions, women are obligated in those mitzvahs as well. There's one more in this category of Afhein Hayu Bosanes, because they were involved in the miracle, they benefited from the miracle, and that is Arba Kosos on Pesach, drinking of the four cups of wine. That's the source 11, the Gemara Pesachim, Kufches, I'm an Aleph, going over to Kufches on Beis. Same speaker, Be'omar Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim Chayavos Be'arba Kosos Halolo. Women are obligated to drink the four cups of wine on Pesach at the Seder as well. Same reason, Sha'af Hein Hayu Bo Sanes, right? Well, it's his Mitzrayim and so on. Not only the men came out, the women came out also. So they're obligated in the same, they're obligated in this mitzvah. But if you look at sources 12 and 13, almost identical, Rashi and the Rashbam, in their commentary, in the page of Pesachim, say something interesting. Until now, we assumed by Mikra Megillah and Purim, by Ner Chanukah and Chanukah, the reason women have to observe the mitzvah is that whatever threat there was, whatever problem there was that was facing the Jewish community, faced the women as well as the men. So whatever salvation there was, whatever Yeshua there was, whatever nace there was, benefited the women the same as men. On Mikra Megillah, again, women are obligated because the Haman wanted to wipe out all the Jews, the women included. So when he failed and the Jewish people victorious, so the women also celebrate. They have to read the Megillah. Chanukah, the decrees of the Greeks affected women as well. So therefore, the victory. Here, Rashi says something else. Now, I would say the same thing, therefore, by Pesach, right? It's this Mitzrayim. The women were in Egypt. They came out, so they also. But the Rashi and Rashbam have a different angle. They say, look in the. You can look, pretty much the same thing. I quoted Gemara and Sota, Daf Yud Aleph from Beis. We'll read in Rashi, Shafan Hebos and Ace, source 12. Kedarminan, Bishar Noshim Tzidkonios, Sheba Osa Ador Nigalo. Because it was in the merit of the women at that time that the whole Geula, the whole redemption happened. Interesting. It's not just saying that they benefited. They played an active role. It was in their schus. It was in the schus of women that the whole miracle, the whole salvation, the whole redemption of Pesach took place. That's how the Rashbam writes the same thing. And he says, V'chein nami gabe mikra Megillah. That's the same reason by mikra Megillah. Nami minhochi, the mishum aide Esther nigalu, the hero of the story. The heroine of the story was Esther, was a woman. Right? And in other words, what this Rashi and Rashbam is saying here is not just the women incidentally also happened to benefit. But more than that, they played an active role in bringing about the Yeshua. In Mitzrayim, it was the righteous women, we'll see in a minute. In Chanukah, Purim is obvious, it was Esther, was the heroine of the story. Okay, and he says, V'chein gabi ner Chanukah. The same thing by ner Chanukah, doesn't tell us what it is. The Rashbam concludes, Lashon Reino HaLevi, that's one of the earlier rabbis taught us this. What do you mean in the merit of the women that they came out of Mitzrayim? What are you talking about? So that's the Gemara in Sota. They refer to it, but don't spell it out. So I printed it for you in source 14, and the Rashi in 15. So to Yerala from the Beis, Darash Rav Avira, Bishar Noshim Tzidkonel, Shehoyu Bosador, Nigal Yisrael Mitzrayim. It was in the merit of the women at that time, in that generation of Mitzrayim, that the redemption happened. Why? Let's remind ourselves that many of the men led by Amram, the father who later became the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't want to have children anymore. Because they felt, what are we going to have children and we're going to bring them up? They're going to be slaves? What kind of life is that? So they separated from their wives. Amram, the father of Moshe, before Moshe was born, separated from his wife. Because they said, what are we producing children for? To serve as slaves and have a miserable existence. And the women had greater bitachon and felt, no, we have to perpetuate the Am Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us out. And so, the Medrash, the Gemara fills in this Medrash, B'shoah Shehochos Yisroelmayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nizam, Adog and Tanam Kadeim, B'shovos. So, somehow, to make a long story short, the women would get food, they would be able to cook it up for the husbands, and then they would doll themselves up, dress themselves up nicely, and in fact, become very attractive to the husbands, and the husbands would be with them, and they would have children. That's what it says. As a matter of fact, as a side point, we're reading now about Mishkan. I didn't print this on the page. We're reading now. We started yesterday to read the Parshas of Shavu about the Mishkan. So later on, it says that they're going to build in Mishkan a walk station called the Kior. And it says that the Kior made, the women donated their mirrors that they used to put on makeup, whatever. They donated their mirrors, and that's what the Kior was made out of. So Moshe Rabbeinu at first didn't want to take the mirrors for the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. Mirrors used for vanity, you know, it's not appropriate. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, quite the contrary. These mirrors, it's because of these mirrors that the Jewish people survived in Mitzrayim, because the women continued to dress themselves up and make themselves attractive to husbands using them. This is the most precious gift of all, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the, said to Moshe, take those mirrors, a tremendous gift. So the women, that's what the Gemara means in Sota, and that's what the, and I quote Psukim to back it up, you can look in the Rashi. So the Gemara says that the women played a very active role in bringing about the Geula. Purim is obvious. Esther, again, the heroine of the story. Hanukkah is a little less clear, we'll see in a second. But I want to point out that this Rashi and Rashbam here in Pesachim is a little different than what we were saying before. Because again, before we were saying women are obligated because they were also beneficiaries of what took place. Here it's saying they're more than beneficiaries. They were the ones who played the active role. So the Tosus, there in Pesachim, of Kuf Ches Mabei, says a number of important things we have to look at in 16. First, it says, Sha'afin Ha'ba Oswanes. Tos is bothered by the following problem. One second. There's one other common denominator between these three mitzvahs, Mikra, Megillah, and Purim, Chanukah and Chanukah, Arba Kos on Pesach. And that is, they're all rabbinic mitzvahs. They're not in the Torah. Obviously, Chanukah and Purim didn't happen yet. Okay, but Arba Kos is not in the Torah either. That's eating matzah, eating morah, eating the Korban Pesach, that's in the Torah. Arba Kos is not written in the Torah. There are hints, but there's no mitzvah in the Torah that says you have to drink Arba Kos. It's a rabbinic mitzvah. It's mitzvah in the Rabbanan. So Tosfos points out, you could argue that maybe the rule of women being exempt from mitzvahs, esei, shazman, grama, is only when you're dealing with a mitzvah from the Torah. What do you have to come on to this reason they were involved in the miracle? Just say, when the Rabbanan instituted this mitzvah, they instituted it to apply to women also. It had nothing to do with Afen, Hayobo, Sarnes, and none of these fancy reasons. That exclusion, which I showed you based on Tefillin, is in Torah mitzvahs. So Tosfos says, no, because we have a general rule that when the Chachamim instituted mitzvahs, they always modeled it after the Torah's rules. So if the Torah has a rule that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, so when the Rabbanan instituted mitzvahs, they're also going to have that rule. So therefore, I would think that Ner Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah, Arba Kosos, women are exempt from, because it's time-bound. Oh, do you mean it's not from the Torah? It doesn't matter. That's what Tosfos says in the first part of 16, because the Rabbanan ke'ein de'oraisa tikkun. It's an important principle to be aware of. The Rabbanan, whenever they made mitzvahs and so on, they modeled them, they tried to pattern it after the patterns of the Torah. Therefore, women haka would have been exempt from Mikra Megillah, from Ner Chanukah, from Arba Kos on Pesach, except Afein Harbo Sanes. It's a reason to bring them into that mitzvah. The next Tosus quotes the Rashbam, and he says, Sha'al yodam nigalu v'chein b'megillah yidei Esther, Yehudis. We didn't see that before. What active role? We know an active role the woman played Purim, Esther. We know the active role the woman played Pesach. We just saw that they continued to have children, had greater mitachon. What active role did women play Chanukah time? So that's the story of Yehudis. Somewhat of a obscure story. There is a book of Yehudis, actually, in what's called the Apocrypha, the Svarim HaChitzonim, that didn't make it into Tanakh. And there are various midrashim that fills in the blanks. I printed one of them in 17. Over here. The whole story, we're not going to read it inside, but basically this woman Yehudis, according to some versions, the number of versions of this Medrash, but one of the versions is she was the sister. You know, we all know that Matisyahu from Hanukkah had the five sons, right? The five, including Yehuda Maccabee, and she was the sister, this Yehudis. According to one view, she was the sister, and she had developed a whole plan, which is, she copied from somebody in Novi. Okay, remember the story Navi with Yael, the wife of Chevirat the Haftorah, a few weeks ago, with Sisra, the king, one of the Kenani kings. So when he was running away, so she brought him into the tent, and she gave milk, and he fell asleep, and she drove the tent peg into his head, and that was the end of him. So she did a similar thing, according to this Medrash, with one of the great Greek generals. Okay, not exactly with a tent peg, but she basically said she wants to marry him, and he was attracted. He made a whole party, a whole wedding, and then she cut his head off. So that's the Medrash over here. So that's what the Gemara and the Chazal are probably referring to when it says that a woman played an active role. This was a devastating loss to the Greeks, one of their chief military operators was now killed by a woman and so on and so forth. So therefore, that's the role that women played. So you can read it, you know, you can read it if you have time. You want to keep, you can see the whole story spelled out in, you know, somewhat dramatic fashion. And again, there are different versions of this Medrash. I printed it here from the Otsa Medrash from Eisenstein, page 204. But there are other collections of this Medrash as well. So now we see that according to the Rashbam, so getting back to Tosus now in 16, Tosus says, so in these three mitzvahs, Bikur Megillah, Ner Chanukah, and Arba Kosos, women not only benefited, but they played an active role. But Tosus says, but that, you know, that may be true, but that's not the reason they're obligated, Tosus says. Because the expression, Af Hein Hoyu Mosanes, what does that mean? Let's be medayek, let's look carefully, says Tosus, at the language. Af Hein means they also. They also means that they're kind of like, not that they played an active role, that's more than also. Right, the Tosus doesn't like this being source because it may be true, but that's not the reason. The Tosus is not arguing on the facts. The facts are the facts. But the reason women are obligated is because not because of one or two women played an active role, but because all women, Afhain also, women also were involved. So that language says that they weren't any more of the main characters than more the men were. That's not the reason. Afhain hoibosanes. And then he mentions also that in the Rishalmi, the language is not Afhain hoibosanes. But that's the third to last line of 16. Yushalmi Goresh Avhein Hayu Ba'oso Sofek. They were involved in the doubt, in the trouble at that time. Are we going to live or are we going to die? Right, the doubt. Mashma Ba'oso Sakona. They were involved in the same danger. Ahashmi Dahargobet. Okay, so that's one point. So basically, it's a machlokes we've shown him. What do we mean, to cut it down to its basics, what do we mean when we say women are obligated in these mitzvahs because Afhein Hayu Ba'oseneis, does it mean they took a dramatic role, a leadership role? Is that why? Or no, they may have taken a leadership role, but that's not the reason they're involved in they're obligated in the mitzvahs, but rather because they benefited and they were part of it also, and they see there's some difference. Because Tosus asks, one second, what about Sukkah? After all, Sukkah protected the Jewish people in the Midbar. So why don't we say v'hod armin and the tourists be sukkah? We say women are exempt from sukkah. Women can sit in the sukkah, but they don't have to. Right? Don't, you know this, right? You don't have to sit in the sukkah. You may, and you have to Ashkenazi make a bracha, but you don't have to. Women don't have to sit in the sukkah. So Tosfos, why not? Afhein hayu ba'oseneis. Whatever miracle, you know, salvation was provided, protection was provided by the sukkah, so it's provided for women also. That Tosus Kasha, why not say that women are also obligated in Sukkah? Same reason, Afhein Hayu Ba'oseneis. Because it says in the Torah, Kibbutz Sukkah So Shafti, I had all the Jewish people living in the Sukkahs in the middle. How would we define Sukkah? Whether it means that actual Sukkahs or the protective cloud, whatever it was, but it benefited the women too. So why not apply this rule of Afhein Hayu Ba'oseneis? So Tosus says, because that's an Aseh D'Oraisa. Because that's a sitting in the Sukkahs, a Mitzvah D'Oraisa. Okay, and we don't apply this principle, according to Tosus, to a mitzvah d'oraisa. Ava ba'arba kosas, rabbanan tiktu gamanashon kevish ahobo sanes. Meaning as follows. Basically, some of the first will explain, when it comes to a mitzvah that's from the Torah, you can't start calculations, they would follow. The Torah gives you mitzvahs, the Torah gives you rules, so we can't start now thinking, well, maybe you should include women, not include women. That's okay when the mitzvah d'rabbanan, because you could say that was part of their thought process. But from the Torah, you can't tamper with it. The Torah says what it says, and that's it. We don't start applying logic and rules, and maybe it should apply. We know the Torah says in mitzvah, Torah says women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, so therefore, you can't start now saying, well, the Torah should also include women. That's what Tosus' thesis is over here. Okay? So keep that in the back of your head. There's several important points in that Tosus. In source 18, I just quoted the Ran in Shabbos Yoram Alav. Sha'afein ho bosoneis shegozu yivonim al kol abesulos hanisos shivalo lehegmon tchila. First of all, there was the Greek decree that I said before that all the Jewish maidens getting married first had to sleep with the local governor. And va'yadei isha nasaneis amirimirish debito shel Yochanan, the daughter, according to this version, the daughter of Yochanan the Kohen Gadol. Okay, ha'achila l'rosh ha'ivim grina. She fed dairy products to the general of the enemy. The Shachuza got him drunk and tired, b'chotchas rosho, and she cut off his head, and everyone got away. And so that's his version of the story. So again, to summarize very quickly, so we have three mitzvahs, which the Gemara says women are obligated because of Afhein Hayu Ba'oseneis. reading the Megillah on Purim. Reading, when I say reading, I mean hearing. You don't have to read it anymore than a man has to read it. You have to, you know, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah on Purim. Okay, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and Chanukah, the mitzvah of Arba Kosos on Pesach. Those three mitzvahs, women are obligated the same as men. Machlokas Rishonim, is it because women took an active role in bringing about the salvation in connection with these three, or is it no? It's the it's because women were involved in the same potential problem, and therefore benefit. That's how the Yerushalmi says. We look in 19, the Yerushalmi in Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Hei, says, Bar Kapora Omer, Tzarech Lekrosa Lifnei Noshim Vemektanim. You have to read the Megillah before women as well. Yes, that's Ketanim too, but that's a different thing. She'af Osam Havu B'Safek, because they were in the same threat, the same doubt, the same, you know, tension, the same anxiety of potential annihilation, important time. It was the women also, and it's Rishur ben Levi who was the speaker in all three cases in the Bavli. Abed came Michnas Banei ben Ebeise v'Karle Kumeon. He gathered his family together and so on, and the women also. He make sure that they would hear the Megillah the same, which is the way we do also. That's how the commentaries in Yerushalmi, the Korban Eda, says Rishur ben Levi also came, but also Banei ben Ebeise v'Tanim v'Karle Kumeon. He got the whole family together and read the Megillah for them. Question? Yeah. So that's a different discussion, okay? You certainly have to hear. You certainly have to hear. Same as men. Okay, men have to hear also. You're not, in most shuls, one person reads, everybody else hears, right? So, say it again? Right, so if you're not near a synagogue, you don't have a synagogue, so now, of course, that's an interesting question. Can you hear somebody else read it from a distance? There's discussions. We'll have to, maybe another time before we'll discuss that question. Or can a woman read it? So many assume that a woman, if she should read it for herself, other things have to read it out of a Kosher Megillah, which is, as opposed to out of a Chumash, which is not everyone can do. They could sit with somebody, they could you know, feed you the words and so on. There's a further question whether there's a slight distinction. Maybe women don't read it, but they hear it. That's based on a on another Rishon, which is a discussion for another time. But certainly, you know, a woman should make every effort to come to shul, by the way, both at night and during the day. As a side point, the daytime reading is the more important of the two, contrary to popular belief. Many people assume, oh, the nighttime reading, that's the main thing. Everybody comes to shul, and during the day, if I have a few minutes, I'll go to shul. So it's not really correct for men or for women. The ikkar is the daytime reading. Okay, it doesn't matter when in the day. You don't have to do it at 6 o'clock in the morning, but or whatever. This year, 6 o'clock would be too early. But, you know, it could be in the afternoon also, sometime during the day. But the women should make every effort to hear the Megillah, with men or same as men. So, anyway, Pnei Moshe explains when the Yerushalmi says there in Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, 21, that Afein Hayu Boso Safek, doesn't say Nays. What do you mean Safek? Hagzera, the decree of Haman was against women as well. The Ran in Pesachim Chav Gimel Aleph in 22 says Sha'afein Habos Haneis Pirshu Rishalmi Sha'afein Habos Safek Klomar B'Safek Sakona U'Tegavah Semer Gavet Chanakim U'Megillah V'Dafka Me'Hai Time Ha'Holav Ha'Chib Turos Davi Le'Mitzvah Shadron Groma B'Cheich M'Dera'isa Potter Ha'Chan M'Drabbanon. Ran says the same like Tosis. Even though these are Mitzvahs D'Rabbanon. So Mitzvahs D'Rabbanon, the Rabbanon tried to model it after what it says in the Torah, and therefore women are exempt from time-bound Mitzvahs. And that's how the Ran on the Riff in Megillah Beis Amon Aleph. That was the Ran Pesachim Chav Gimel Amon Aleph in Megillah Beis Amon Aleph also says the same idea. Shafein Hayobo Sanes, that the main thing is they were involved in the Sakona, not like Rashbam and Rashi said over there in Pesachim that a woman played an active role. That's not the issue. There's a long piece in 24 which I'm not going to read inside, the Guras Hashem, that's in the Maharal Nifrag. Okay, and he tries to understand why there should be a difference between the Daraisa and the Drabbanan. And his basic yisod, he says three interesting things, but his basic yisod is that, because he also deals with that sukkah question. Why aren't women obligated in sukkah? They were also protected in the midbar by the clouds and by the sukkah, so women should be obligated in sukkah as well. Why not? So it said no, sukkah is different because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, and he decreed who could be potter, who's chayev, and what. And he said, for whatever the reason, women are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. But mitzvahs d'rabbanan, okay? But mitzvahs d'rabbanan, there we can start calculating, you know, mitzvah d'rabbanan. We can say, well, when the rabbanan had this rule, they applied it. In this case, they didn't apply it. In that case, there's more flexibility. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decision. Women are exempt from sukkah because it's time-bound. So we can't start saying, oh, but let's now obligate them in sukkah because... No, you can't start tampering with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what it says in the Torah. The Torah has its rules. When the Rabbanan figured out the decree, so then they had various calculations, and we can figure out what the calculations are. Now it's interesting though that that's the Tosas and Psachim. Again, to review, we said that by these three mitzvahs, women are obligated because Afein Ha'Banes, Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah, Arba Kosos on Pesach. Machlokas, Rashi and Rashbam on one side, and Tosas on the other side. Rashi a little unclear because he says differently in different places, but let's call it Machlokas, Rashbam on one side, Tosas and the Ran on the other side. What does it mean, Afein Ha'Banes? Does it mean that they took an active role, or does it mean that they just benefit in general? Then we have the question about Sukkah. Now, to put the brakes on for a second, if you hold, like the Rashbam, that what? That Afein Ha'Banes means they played a dramatic role, well, that knocks off the whole Sukkah question. Because Sukkah, they benefited, but we don't find that women did anything active to bring about the protection of the Sukkah. The whole question about Sukkah is only if you understand that Afein Ha'Banes means they benefited, not that they played an active role. You follow what I'm saying? So according to those who Shonim will hold that Afein Ha'Banes means not that they benefited, but they played an active role, then we understand why Sukkah. You don't have to come on to this difference, Doraisa, Drabanan, forget that. You don't have to come on to that fancy footwork. You know why Sukkah is not obligated? Because no woman played an active role in the salvation brought about, the protection brought about by the Sukkah. But if you hold that Afein Ha'Banes means they benefited, well, then Sukkah is a good question. They benefit from the Sukkah too. So that's why we have to come on to that answer, distinguishing between a Daraisa and a Darabana. You follow? It's only according to one. So that's a very practical distinction between these two approaches, Dafein Hayuvo Sarnes. What's interesting is, that was the Tosas in Psachim, Tosas in Megillah and Daf Dalet, 25, Shafein Hayuvo Sarnes, Pirish Rashbam, Sheikar Hanes Hayu Ayodon. Right, bePurim Ayde Esther and bChanukah Ayde Yehudas bePesach Shemshus Tzidkanoshin Tzidkaneil Shavos Adorni Galah bKosher. He doesn't like that approach like he didn't like it before, because the lashon of Af Hein Hayu sounds like they just included, not that they took a leadership role. Otherwise, it should have said Shehein, not Af Hein. Shehein Hayu Bosanets. What's Af? Even means, you know, even that's almost like you slept along, you know, even. Shouldn't have had that word, okay? And especially the Rishalmi and so on says that doubt or that danger and so on. But then Tosfos says, look at the last three lines of 25. Yesh Maksha, okay? I'm sorry, before that, he says, what about matzah? Gabe matzah, yesh mashke. Lomeli hakesha, the chol shi, yesh no bal tocha chometz, yesh no bakum achol matzah. Tosfos asks a question with a different angle here. One second. Women we know are obligated in eating matzah at the Seder. Why? Who said, isn't that a time-bound mitzvah? Why is that an exception? I said before, it's an exception, and it is. But why? Why should that be an exception? So the Gemara has, we're going to interrupt to look at the next source. The Gemara says, look carefully, in Parshas Re'eh, Dvarim Perek Tezayin Pasuk Gimel, source 26. It says, Lo sochal alav chametz shivas, lo sochal alav chametz, and I'll eat chametz on Pesach, and shivas yomim tochal alav matzos lechem oni. You have to eat matzos. So the Gemara says, in 27, we have to go back to the Tosas in a second, but the Gemara Psachim, Mem Gimel, Amud Beis, draws an equation, and says, the Amar of Elezer, 27, Noshim Chayavos Bachilas Matzah Devar Torah. Women are obligated eating matzah at the Seder, Pesach night, from the Torah. Why? Because the Torah, look in that Pasuk we just saw, equates, or draws a connection, between not eating chametz, and yes, eating matzah. The Pasuk says, don't eat chametz, eat matzah. So the Gemara says, well, that means whoever is obligated or required not to eat chametz is required, yes, to eat matzah. See the equation? Right? Because the pasuk links them. So the Gemara says, whoever is included in the prohibition against eating chametz is included in the mitzvah to eat matzah. So therefore, even though it's time-bound, says the Gemara, I don't care. This is an exception, because the Torah makes an exception. The Torah links the mitzvah of eating matzah with the prohibition against eating chametz. So women have not allowed chametz on Pesach either, because we said before, the whole time-bound exclusion is only mitzvah saseh. Not eating chametz is a lo saseh. So therefore, women are not allowed chametz on Pesach either, the same as men. So therefore, since there's a link between not eating chametz and yes, eating matzah, so women have to eat matzah also. So now coming back to Tosas, okay, Tosas there at the end of 25 asks, what do you have to come on to that reason for? What do you have to say? Oh, you know why they have to eat matzah? Because it's juxtaposed. I have a simpler answer. Why not say they have to eat matzah? Because why? Afen hayu bosanes. They were brought out of Egypt too. What do we eat matzah for? To remember the Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? So women also came out of Mitzrayim. Why? That's what Tosis asks in 25 in Megillah. Daf Dalam and Aleph. Divrei Maaseh Shafen hayu bosanes. Why do you have to come on to this? You know, other. You know, well, there's a pasuk that links eating matzah with not eating chametz. Why don't you say our reason? Afen hayu bosanes. So Tosis answers. B'yishlo Amar, two lines in the bottom of 25. He says, Mishum the high timer, lo mechaiva el midrabanan. Because that reason would at best obligate women in matzah midrabanan. Because the rule of afhein abosanis, we said, applies to rabbinic mitzvahs. Therefore, the maximum you could get out of applying afhein hayobosanis in terms of matzah is that they'd be obligated to rabbanan. If we go back to that pasuk in the Torah, linking chametz and matzah, that generates an obligation to Oraisa. See what Tosa says? Again, the pasuk, it's not a pasuk, the pasuk is from the Torah. The Gemara wanted to demonstrate that women are obligated to eat matzah on Pesach, the Oraisa. So saying, Afhein Ha'ba Sonais, is not enough. It's not enough. That can only generate, the maximum that can generate is a mitzvah drabonah. Now, Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah, Arbakosis is a mitzvah drabonah anyway. So good, so now you can say, it's a mitzvah drabonah. So it generates a chiyuv drabonah. That's all we have to do, because we're only dealing with a drabonah to begin with. But the Gemara was looking to obligate, to show how women, why women are obligated matzah to oraisa. So therefore, they have this link to chametz. That's what it says. But what emerges from this point in Tosis is that, you know something? You could argue that afhein habosanes, notice that Tosis didn't say, oh, afhein habosanes doesn't apply to the oraisas. That's what the other Tosas said. Again, the other Tosas that we saw in Pesachim asked, why aren't women obligated in Sukkah? So my answer is because Afhein Elba Sineis only applies only to Mitzvahs Derabbanan, but not to Mitzvahs Deraisa. That's not what Tosas says here. Tosas could have given that same answer. Again, right, in Pesachim, Tosas asked, why don't we say women are obligated in Sukkah? Because Afhein Elba Sineis, they were, you know, again, they were protected by the Sukkahs in the Midbar also. So Tosis in Pesachim answered, because that rule of Afhein Ha'obosanes applies only to rabbinic mitzvahs, not to biblical mitzvahs. But that's not the answer they gave here. They asked here, how come by matzah you had to come up with this whole other reason? Why not just say Afhein Ha'obosanes? So Tosis could have answered, same answer they said before. Because they're only obligated, that rule only applies to rabbinic mitzvahs. It doesn't say that here. Here it says, because they wanted to obligate them to Oraisa. What emerges from that is, logically, is that mid the Rabbanon, women perhaps are obligated in mitzvahs, even Doraisa mitzvahs, they'll be obligated at the Rabbanon level, which would imply, or could imply, that women actually would be obligated in Sukkah, the Rabbanon. Can't bring them in Doraisa, but it's not like Tosa said over there that Afhein Ha'obos, and it doesn't apply at all. This Tosa says it applies, it could apply, but only applies on the Rabbanon level. Matzah, we were looking for the Raisa level, but by Sukkah we could argue that according to this Tosas, women are rabbinically obligated in the mitzvah of Sukkah. So it's just an interesting point to bear in mind. Then he brings another answer. Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yerushalayim tirates the Salka Dakel Mitzvah Megzeres Shavuot Tesvav the Chag of Sukkos. I might have thought something else. Very, very interesting. There is, if you look now at source 29, okay, it says as follows. He says, two psukim in the Torah, in the Parshas Emor. Perakov Gimel, Vayikra Pasuk Vav, Perakov Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. One is talking about Pesach, Uva Chamisho, Soyom Lachodosh, Zeh Chag, Chag HaMatzos Hashem, right? On the 15th of that month, which we call Nisan, is Pesach. And then it says, in a few psukim later in that Perak, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Dabrel Ben Yisrael, Ba Chamisho, Soyom Lachodosh, Hashri, Zeh Chag HaSukkos. Right? The 15th of a different month, we call Tishrei, the Sukkos. Notice that both are 15th. So the Gemara has a fascinating equation. The Gemara says that since by both mitzvahs, it says 15, magic number is 15, so we draw parallels between Pesach and Sukkos. Okay, what's the parallel? What are we going to say? So just like you have to eat matzah on Pesach, you have to eat matzah on Sukkos too. No, that we don't say. Okay, or just like you have to eat in the Sukkah on Sukkos, you have to eat the Sukkah on Pesach too. No, we don't say that. But we do say that just like on the first night of Pesach, you must eat matzah. You don't have to eat matzah the whole week. You can eat potatoes, but you have to eat matzah at the Seder. Right? You must eat matzah at the Seder. Men and women, everyone has to eat matzah at the Seder. The rest of the week, you don't like matzah, so eat whatever you eat. Okay, you don't have to eat matzah. That's why, by the way, if you do eat matzah during the week of Pesach, we don't make a bracha al achilas matzah. make hamotzi, but you don't say alech. We only say alech this matzah at the Seder, because that's the only time it's an absolute mitzvah. The rest of the week, okay, you can eat matzah. We do, but we don't make a brocha, because only a mitzvah at the Seder night. So the Gemara has an equation. Just like at the Seder night, you have to eat matzah. So the first night of Sukkot, you have to eat the sukkah. You know where that comes out? That comes out if it's raining the first night. Some of you can remember in past years, if it's raining, luckily it hasn't happened that often recently, but some of you may remember, I remember also, it's raining the first, you wait, and if it's sitting, and this, they run in, and you make kiddush, and eat bread quickly, and come, remember that? You know, it happens every once in a while. Thank God, not that often around here, but what kind of business is that? The rest of the week, if it's raining, it's eat indoors, right? Even the next morning, Sukkot morning, it happens, you know, every year it rains a little bit on Sukkot, so Shabbos, or Chalamoid, or whatever, so first night, second night of Yom Tov, or the second day, if it's raining in the eat indoors, but the first night it's a whole hock. You gotta wait, and then it's a disturbance. You know, some people want to wait longer, other people want to wait earlier, and then older people, it's a mess. So we're always diving for rain, you know, no rain on the first night. They don't care, no rain the first night, just creates a, you know, it's a whole. One of my children has a certain disability, but he somehow connects to Kodesh Baruch Hu in different ways. There was one night, just 2 years ago, we came into the sukkah. By the time we came home from shul, and it was not really supposed to rain. They said chance or drizzle, this and that, you know. So it just so happens that we just got everything set. We said all the shpiz and everything. We walk into the sukkah, and it started to drizzle. And he turned to the son, and the kid looked up and he says, "Hey, what's going on here?" And it stopped. So I don't know what happened. Just like it was already passing cloud things and drizzle for a few minutes. What kind of business is this? You know, we're in the sukkah now. It's not supposed to rain, so it worked. But some years it doesn't work. So that's anyway. So Tosfos says, you know what? Really, one could argue that midoraisa afhein avos saints works midoraisa, and it would include women in sukkah. I'm sorry, a woman in matzah. Okay, based on. They would exclude women from matzah based on the fact they're excluded from sukkah. That's what the Tosfos says. The Rabbeinu Yosef Ishu Shalayim. Okay, I might have thought that since women are excluded from sukkah, they're excluded from matzah as well. And the rule of Afhein Avos tells us not so, and that's perhaps even on a Doraisa level. So we may come back to that point. One of the commentaries, Maseches Sukkah and Daf Lamed Chesed Aleph, the Kapos Tmorim, the Moshe Ibn Chaviv, he discusses the matter of sukkah at length. Okay. And he explains, he wonders why the Rashbam had to come out with that whole thing. Well, women played an active role. Again, as Tosfos says, the expression af hein hayu applied not that they took a leadership role, that they were part of the miracle. Af, even they were part of the miracle. Also, right? That's, I think, I titled this year. No, women are also included. Also implies not that they took a major role. Also means also, right? So what forced the Rashbam? He has to accomplish and say, no, they took an active leadership role. I mean, true. Again, we're not arguing the facts, but that's not the motivating factor behind the rule. And he said, I'll tell you exactly why. Because the Rashbam was bothered about sukkah, says the Kapos. The Rashbam was bothered. Why aren't women obligated to sukkah? If afhein hayu bos hanes means they also benefited, so then they also benefit from sukkah. You can't get out of that, said the Rashbam. Therefore, says the Kapos Tmorim, that's why I said, no, they took an active role. Okay, they took an active role. Oh, so then I understand why sukkah is different. That's how the Kapos Tmorim spells that out. But the other answer he gives, in the second part of it, I'm saying it outside to save some time, the other answer the Kapos Tmorim gives is it's true that women did play an active role in Tzias Mitzrayim, but that wasn't the only reason there was a geula. In other words, yeah, they helped, but, you know, again, the Zchus Lashon Tikkunim, yeah, it's all true, but let's be honest, we had Zchus Avos, we had other mitzvahs, and so on, and Moshe, and Aaron, and, you know, there were many other factors. And Purim as well. Okay, yes, Esther played a major role, but so did Mordechai, he chipped in also. And Hanukkah, yes, this Yehudis, you know, whatever she did exactly, but that wasn't the only reason. Okay, so that's how he spells out. He says that, all these reasons by themselves were not enough to say that they should be obligated to mitzvahs because one woman has to play. Yeah, Esther played a major role, it's true. No, but it wasn't the only thing. Mordechai also played a major role, right? So that's what the Kapos Tmorim gets at, okay? And he therefore prefers to say, again, afhein hayu bos hanes means that they also benefited from it and so on. Okay? There's more to that, but we'll have to leave it for another time. Now, how do we know women taker exempt from sukkah? So the pasuk says in Parakhov Gimel of Emor, Vayikra pasuk Membeis, Basukkas Teshu Shiva Sam Kalezak, we saw Yeshiva Sukkas. So it says, Ezrach Lahotzi Asanoshim. Ezrach means a male citizen. Okay, in modern Hebrew, I think Ezrach means a citizen. So that's when women are excluded. So it's very, very interesting. The Birka Yosef quotes a Taz. And the Taz is in Yoridea, we're talking about something else. The Birka Yosef says, let's turn to the Taz, we'll see how he applies it. 34, the Taz in Yoridea is in Kuf Yud Nain Sukkot Aleph. He says, a general rule. He says that if the Torah specifically permits something, the Rabbanan cannot prohibit it. But the Rabbanan can prohibit things where the Torah is neutral about it. They can say, don't do this, don't do that, don't eat this, don't eat that. But if the Torah specifically says something, and look what he writes, very important, very fundamental Taz, 34. He says, V'nira l'tarits, the ein koach biyad chachamim, lesor dober shepirsha ha-Torah befeirish leheter, the ein koach biyad chachamim lahachmer el makum she'ein bo lo iser v'lo heter beforish min ha-Torah. If the Torah... Yeah, I'm sorry, 34, the Taz. Okay, the Birka Yosef refers it to this Taz. I decided to read it straight from the top. Birka Yosef quotes it. Okay? I'm sorry, the Birka Yosef quotes it. Okay? So he says, once the Torah says something explicitly, okay, they say, do this, and then the Rabbanan can't answer it. Okay? Masha'en kemakosh, het to befurish min ha-Torah. So based on this Taz, the Birka Yosef, the Chidah, and there are Chaim Sim Tov, Ayin Gimel, Sivkot and Tezvav, says the following. He says, you know, it sounds like women really would be obligated in matzah because of afen harbos hanes, and they should really be obligated in sukkah too. But since the Torah specifically says ha'ezrach, which means male citizens, so women are excluded from the mitzvah obligation of sukkah the oraisa. So therefore, says the Birka Yosef, that's why. Not because Afein, maybe Afein Osanes could apply to Doraisa, but there's a different reason why they didn't. Because says the Birka Yosef, according to Taz, because once the Torah specifically says something, then the Rabbana Al Pi Svara can't add something new. In other words, Right, so that's the jump. Right, so the Birka Yosef turns it around. Exactly. The Chidah, the Birka Yosef, comes after the Taz. I printed it here. He says, based on the concept of the Taz, that once something's explicit in the Torah, okay, if the Torah doesn't say anything, the Torah doesn't, theoretically, the Rabbanan can say, don't eat potatoes. The Rabbanan can say, don't eat potatoes. Why? Because there's nothing in the Torah that says you must eat potatoes. It doesn't say one way or the other. So the Rabbanan can say, don't eat potatoes. But if there's something which the Torah itself allows you to eat, or the Torah itself says you have to eat it, the Rabbanan can't say, now it's also to eat it. Right? That's the Taz's principle. Or it's also the Torah says, so see, the Chidah says, now the same logic applies over here, just the other way around. He says, the Torah says women are exempt from sukkah. So therefore, explicitly, ha'ezrach, it says, kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshuva sukkahs, male citizens, okay, male Jew. So therefore, the Rabbanim can't come down and be mechayev. So that's another reason. So actually, we have, if we think about it now, to summarize to this point, we have several different reasons why women are not obligated in sukkah. One, because the whole concept of afein harbos hanes doesn't apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa. Another one would be, even if it would apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa, but perhaps... it's connected to Pesach, which they would have been exempt from if not for a specific connection to Chametz. Otherwise, they would be, they would be obligated. Or you could say what the Birka Yosef says, that the Rabbanan didn't obligate women in the mitzvah, which the Torah specifically says they're not obligated. So again, different reasons. Let's talk now about Pesach night, the Haggadah. Okay, what about the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim? Again, Afein Harbos Hanes. Are women obligated to tell over the Haggadah, that we'll skip the Shara Melech on the Rambam Perek Bava Lech Aleph. Let's move to 36. So the Rambam Hilchos Chometz Matzah Perek Zayin Lech Aleph writes, Mitzvah Saseishol Torah L'Saper B'Nisan Inflos Shanasal L'Sen Mitzrayim B'Lilch HaMishosah B'Nisan. Right? There's a mitzvah Saseim in HaTorah to tell over the story of the miracles and the wonders that were told to our ancestors in the time on the night of the 15th of Nisan, etc., etc., right? And if you have, you're supposed to tell it to your children, if there's no children, you tell it to whoever's at the table, if it's by yourself, you tell it to yourself, right? That's what the Rambam says. Sefer HaChinuch also writes, Mitzvah Chof Aleph, 37, Mitzvah Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim, L'saper B'nei Yitzis Mitzrayim, to tell the story, etc., and praise God, and all the different things. It says, we got to tell Avincha, tell over the story, and we should remember all the good things Hashem did. Look at the last line of 37, V'noheges Bizchorim Unekevos. This mitzvah that we call the Haggadah Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim applies to men and women, okay, men and women, the same. B'chol Mokom, everywhere, not just in Yitzhak, B'chol Zman, all times, not only when there's a Beis HaMikta, it doesn't matter. That's the mitzvah of Leil Pesach. Okay? And whoever violates it is Bitel Asay. So the Minchas Chinuch says 1 second. In Oz Yud, the mitzvah Chafal of 38, 1 second. What do you mean it applies to women? Din Zeh Chidush Godol Etzli. Lama Yeh Noeg Mitzvah Zubin Nashim. Okay? Isn't it a mitzvah Seh Shazman Gromo? Isn't it a time-bound mitzvah? Pesach night? It's only Pesach night. You want to read the Haggadah tonight? Go ahead. But you're not Mekayim any mitzvah. Maybe Talmud Torah, but it's not a mitzvah. So why should women be obligated? That's what he's wondering about. He says, as far as matzah is concerned, well, matzah we learned earlier, that is a specific connection to chametz, but that doesn't have anything to do with Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. Okay? So the question is, why, you know, why should, I don't know why this is the case. And he kind of leaves it as a question. Okay, he says, I don't know what the chinuch is driving at over here. Okay, but the Shulchan Aruch, you know, he leaves it as a question. I don't understand why. Why should women be obligated in the basis, on what basis? And what's the basis for including them? It's nothing to do with matzah. Matzah, he says, is, you know, it's, so again, the Shulchan Aruch rules in Siman Tov Ayin Beis of Or HaChaim, Sif Yud Dalet, Gam Hanoshim Chayavos Barba Kosos Uvechol Mitzos Hanohagos Ba'osol. Shulchan Aruch says women are obligated in the four cups and all the other mitzvahs of that night, Pesach night. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Mem Dalet, there of Siman Tov Ayin Beis, the Afshu Mitzos Evan Grama, not Mikomokum Chayavos She'afein Hayu Ba'osol Neis. Okay, and the other mitzvahs, matzah, mor, amir, and it specifically includes in Mem Hei, amiras hagoda. So now we're saying that afhein hayabos anes applies as well to what? To the hagoda, to Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. But isn't that a biblical mitzvah? So you have to say that these authorities rule not like that Tosas, that it doesn't apply to a mitzvah daraisa, only drabana. No, apparently, at least according to some, it applies to a daraisa as well. That's how the Prima Gadim writes in 41, there in Siman Tov Ayin Tes of Arachayim, the Eshal Avram Sivkot and Beis, and he's talking about Hallel on Pesach night, and he says, in the second line, Vida Shehad Hagoda Mitzvah Sasemin HaTorah, Hula Saper Nisim Vos, Kom Shah Kosov Rambam, we read that before, okay, and he says, they're obligated Min HaTorah, according to the Tosus in Megillah, that says, that according to Tosus in Megillah, it says, not that they were excluded, let's say, again, we asked the question about sukkah, okay, we asked why were women exempt from sukkah, so that one toes was answered, because sukkah is d'oraisa, we don't apply the rule of afeinu sabaneis, but according to this, not correct, according to this, we would apply it to d'oraisa, in fact, we apply it, we gave the other reason by sukkah, okay, either the reason because they didn't want to obligate us something the Torah specifically excluded them from, or the other answer to Tosus, you know, that we had in Megillah, that they really would be obligated to Rabbanan. So therefore, women are obligated in the mitzvah of, according to this view anyway, women are obligated in the mitzvah of the Haggadah on Pesach. That same Mechidah in the Birkei Yosef, Siman Tov Ayin Gimel, in Sukkot and Tesvav, in the next source, also writes, so 1 second, so I ask you again, so once we include them in, not only matzah, but we include them in Haggadah as well, Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim as well, so we'll go back to Sukkah, why not apply it to Sukkah, alright, so again, you have to say that for some reason, Sukkah is different, okay, maybe it's only Drabbanan, but again, it's very hard to understand it, but he leaves it as an interesting connection, or interesting question about Sukkah. Now, here's another interesting mitzvah. The Rabbeinu Tam, one of the Balei Tosas, writes in what's called the Sefer HaYosher, 43, Siman Ayin, Tshuvas, Sefer HaYosher, Oz Dalet. 3 meals on Shabbos, Shalosh Sudas. Why do we have 3 meals on Shabbos? So the Gemara learns it out because it relates to the Mon, right? It relates to the Mon. three times when it says about eating the mon on Shabbos, they use the word hayom, and the Gemara demonstrates that therefore we have three meals on Shabbos. So says Rabbeinu Tam, let me tell you something. Women should have three meals on Shabbos too. Women should eat Shabbos. Why? Because it connects to the mon. So women got the mon also. Afein hayu bo'osaneis. Right, so says Rabbeinu Tam. Not only that, but he also mentions cutting lechem mishnah on Shabbos. Why do we have two rolls or two loaves? Because a double portion of man fell. So says Rabbeinu Tam. Well, a double portion of man fell for the women also. So therefore, a woman should make hamotzi over two rolls and should eat three meals on Shabbos. And that's the position of Rabbeinu Tam. And the Ran quotes the halacha. Yeah, but the question is why? So according to what Rabbeinu Tam is saying, and no, women should eat Shalosh Shudas also, because the three times Hayom applies to women as well. All traces back to the month. That's Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. The Ran on the Rif in Shabbos, Mem Daman Aleph, says, you know, he agrees, but he said, you don't need to come on to Afayin Obo Sones. Okay, he says, because all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, all the loslesses of Shabbos apply to women. Shmira, Shamor. So Zohar v'Shamor b'dibur echad, we know, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Zohar v'Shamor Shabbos and Shamor v'Shamor Shabbos at the same time. Shamor is the restrictions of Shabbos. Guard yourself, right? Don't do. That's a restriction of Shabbos. Zohar is the positive side of Shabbos. So the Ran says, since it's the same link, the Gemara has the same link as by Pesach with the Chametz and Matzah, whoever has to keep Shmira has to keep Schira. Whoever has to keep Shomar has to keep Zohar. So women have to keep all the positive mitzvahs of the Shabbos too. So he agrees with the Talmud for a different reason. But it's interesting. What's that? Oh, so that's the question whether this is a Darius or a Rabbanah. It's an important question. Yeah. According to Rabbeinu Tam, yes. The same as the Mendo. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Some men aren't also always killed. So, say again. Oh, so now that's for a different shia. Can you get away with not having bread at Shalosh Shudas, men or women? You know, some people say, especially this time of year, you know, it's getting a little later now. But you know, by the time it's time for Shalosh Shudas, you just finished lunch, you know, and you had so much kugel for lunch. So who wants to, the last thing you want to do now is eat? Okay, many people. But in the summertime, it's not such a big kunst. In the summertime, you can have it 7:30 at night. Yeah? But in the winter, when it's 4:30, you know, and you just finished lunch, you had an hour and a half ago, so no one's that hungry. So some say you could have mizonos, you could have fruit, you could have a piece of fish. Okay, there are different opinions about that. Okay, that's a sheer, maybe invite me back another time what the rules is for Shalosh Shudas, men and women, huh? So according to many, the preference is to have bread. The preference. But if you can't, you're too full. You can't. Now, the Mishnah Berurah has an expression based on a pasuk in Koheles. Hachacham ain't of Barosho. Look ahead. Make sure you don't stuff yourself at lunch. You have a little bit of appetite for Shal Shudas. Okay, that's the Chavetz Chaim was at Tzaddik, and the rest of us who partake of a Kiddush, we're not thinking about that so fast, you know. But that's what he says. Think ahead. Plan ahead. The smart person plans ahead. But okay, the post can get away with just mizonas or fruit or something like that if you have no choice, if you're so full. But anyway, my point is that the Rabbeinu Tam, I guess we should move to finish up, the Rabbeinu Tam includes women in Shalosh Shudas and cutting, you know, you know, and having the lechem mishnah for that reason. Okay, and then the Ran quotes and the Mordechai and Megillah in the first parak quotes in Remez Tavshin Pei. Okay, some people disagree, you know, regarding because again it comes back to our same question. Yeah, someone just said before, is afhein ha'obos oneis a derabbanan rule, applies only derabbanan, like Hanukkah, Purim, and so then don't bother me about Shalosh Shudas and about that according to many is a deraisa, learn from Pesukim, Hayom, three times. So it's got, but if you say, like we said before, that afhein ha'obos oneis means, no, it means we can even apply it to deraisas, okay, so then we could talk about it. The Maram Rutenberg, okay, in the first Prague of his tshuva, Siman Tafayim Gimel, Maram Rutenberg discusses also something about the cutting two rolls of bread. And he said, no, he said, doesn't understand, he disagrees with the whole Rabbeinu Tam, but you know, he rejects the Rabbeinu Tam. But again, as we said, Rabbeinu Tam may be based on that understanding of Afein Hayu Bo'os Hanes. Skip to 52. Okay, what is it? Okay, let me just mention one or two other quick things, and we'll get there. Okay, so we started a few minutes late, so I just want to finish up. The truth of the matter is, you know, again, we said with the sukkah. So if you hold that women didn't, you don't need women to participate. You don't need women to have had an active role. So one second. So then I understand by sukkah. But the truth is, the protection of the sukkah was for everybody. That's how Rachel points out. I just want to mention one or two other interesting things, really, to finish up, and we'll bring it over to the end. Okay, because it relates to Seba on Pesach. And with this, I'll finish. Really, all the last sources relate to this question. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zal Bracha, who was the father of Rav Yashavir, the father of the Rav, okay, said the following thing. He said a whole different approach. He said, you know, when Afhein Hayusavosene applies, and this will explain why it doesn't apply to Sukkah, and why it may not apply to Shalosh Shudas, and to Kadal Lechem Mishnah, and perhaps not even to the Haggadah. He said, you know what it applies? It applies to a mitzvah where the essential nature of the mitzvah is what we call Pirsumei Nisa. Afhein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes. When it comes to publicizing a nes, that's the essence of the mitzvah. And that is certainly true by Mikra Megillah. The Gemara Brachos Daf Yudalev and Aleph talks about Hefsek and says that the Mikra Megillah is Pirsumei Nisa. Like Halab, when I'm talking about Halab now, but Mikra Megillah is Pirsumei Nisa. Hanukkah, we know, putting the candles in the place where it was Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle. And how do we know that the miracle is such an important point? Because by those two mitzvahs, in addition to the bracha and the mitzvah, what's the other bracha that we say? She'asa nisim lavoseinu. We don't say that by, and we say it by Hanukkah, and we say it by Purim. What does that show? That by those two mitzvahs, Mikra Megillah and Ner Hanukkah, the miracle is a fundamental part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to publicize the miracle. And so if I printed the Seder of Amram Gaon by Seder Pesach on 52, Rav Amram Gaon says, it's true that Arba Kozos, we don't say that bracha, but he says, actually we do. Because at the end of Magid, we say the bracha that's on the second cup of wine, we say the phrase, V'osolono is called Nisim Ailum. That phrase is printed in 52. So he says, those three mitzvahs, there's something unique about those mitzvahs. That they are fundamentally done to highlight the miracle. It's true that Sukkah, okay, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu protected us, but it's not, that's not the fun, or Matzah, or for example, I printed the Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, Chelek Aleph, Kuf Behei 54, I'm not going to read because no time, but he says, one second, let's go back to where we started from. You know what it says by Tefillin? I printed the Pasuk in 53. Perek Yud Gimel and Bo Pasuk Tesayim. V'haya la'os ha'yorcha o'todos b'nenecha ki b'chozik yor. We know the first part, right? That's Tefillin. La'os ha'yorcha o'todos b'nenecha. And look at the end of the Pasuk. Ki b'chozik yor ho'tzion Hashem Mitzrayim. So Chassam Sofer wonders, wait a second. Tefillin is linked to what? Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're going to check to what Tefillin too. Based on all this logic, why not? It talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he won. And Tefillin, we said, was a paradigm that they're... So he talks about it, you know, that he said that's not really the real, only reason and so on, but it's an interesting question. But according to this Yisodor Moshe Soloveitchik, no. Because maybe Tefillin, yes, connects to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Tefillin is not fundamentally a mitzvah that is designed to publicize the miracle. The question would be the Haggadah, okay, that might be the middle case, but in any event, certainly Mikra Megillah is certainly Ner Hanukkah. So he says an interesting thing, this will explain Ashita. So I just want to say that is a very, very logical, and really the root of that is that Maram Rutenberg that I showed you. That it's only, you only say Afhein Hayavos Hanes, where the fundamental motivator of this mitzvah was the miracle, and the fundamental performance of the mitzvah is to highlight the miracle. So also Nisim Lavoseinu. That's why we only find a B'Shuvah Levi statement by Mikra Megillah, by Ner Hanukkah, and by Arba Kosos, because that's the essential nature of those mitzvahs. The other things, Sukkah, Matzah, Tefillin, whatever else, Shalosh Shudas, good, it connects to a miracle, but that's not the essential nature of the mitzvah. And with that, the last few sources on the last page are an interesting question. We know that on Pesach night, you have to recline at certain points when you drink the Arba Kosos, when you eat Matzah, has Seba, right? And everybody, the Mishnah says, Pesachim Tzadites HaReis, Afilu Anishim Yisrael, even the poorest person has to recline, right? You're not allowed to eat until you recline, like Zechel Cheirus, it's a demonstration of freedom. The Gemara Pesachim says, Kuf Chesem Aleph. Okay, a woman, first the Gemara says, Ishe Tzabayla Loboy HaSeba, Vim Isha Chashuva Hi 58, Tzvicha HaSeba. But if she's a dignified, important woman, she should recline also. I'm not sure who I'm going to tell is not. Okay, but you know, that's what it says in the Gemara. If you're an important woman, you do a seba also. Okay? You say you do a seba also. The Rav Yoh writes that, listen to this, the mitzvah of haseba, this is the Rav Yoh Pesachim Tav Kuf Chafei 60, doesn't apply bismanazet to anybody. You know why? Because we don't find that that's how people eat today. Even at the most lavish royal banquets, nobody's reclining. In the olden days, you know, you saw pictures, you know, the Roman Empire, the emperor is lying on his couch and some girl's dropping grapes in his mouth. And right? That's how people ate in reclining fashion. That was a sign of wealth and freedom. Today, you go to state dinner and no one's sitting like that. So says the Rabbi, oh, that's just not the way we do it today. So it's not a demonstration of cheres. Okay, that's his opinion. Others disagree. The Rambam Paskins and Perek Zanachet, you do have to recline. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and an important woman also has to recline. The Ramo was a smart man, Ashkenazic authority, and Hilchos Pesach Sim Tafayin by 62. Isha Eina Tzvicha Seba, Elaim Kein Hi Chashuva. Like the Gemara said. Says the Ramo, V'chol Hanashim Shalano Mikre Chashuvas. Don't worry, all our women are important. He covered, you know, no problem, not taking any chances. He said all the women are important, so they have to have a Seba. And yet, Achlo Nahu Gelo Seba. I think in most homes, women don't recline. Why not? They're all important. They're all Paskin. Kisomchu al dire Rav Yoh. They rely on the Rav Yoh, who says that we don't have to save it all today. Such a Moshe Salvation, very strange. What the women Paskin like the Rav Yoh, but the men don't? I mean, the Rav Yoh wasn't saying it for women. He was saying in general, there's no mitzvah save it today, because that's not a demonstration of Cheres. So Moshe Salvation said as follows, in line with what we just said. En Hanami, for many, it's not a demonstration of Cheres. But it is a Zecher. They used to eat like that, so we do that also. But women, we just said, only have to do those mitzvahs where the performance of the mitzvah is demonstrative of something that relates to the miracle. Since nowadays that's not demonstrative of anything, they don't have to do it. Otherwise, the Ramah is very strange. What, the women passing like the Rav Yoh, but the men don't? They're very, very strange. But according to this, it sort of works out beautifully. Men continue to recline because men are obligated in mitzvah as a zecher, to commemorate. Women aren't obligated in a zecher. They're only obligated in performing a mitzvah where that act of the mitzvah is demonstrative of the nes, lighting the candles, drinking the four cups, reading the Megillah, that the mitzvah itself. So that's afen ha'ibah, so nes. The recline, since nowadays it doesn't demonstrate anything, just actually it's a nuisance. Okay, I mentioned many times in the past, when I grew up, you know, I had to say to my father's home, and so I didn't like the mitzvah of a seber, with the pillow, and you're sitting on a chair, and you're leaning on your brother's knee, and he's on your, it just, you know, until when I got older, I started making my own seder. I have a chair that has an armrest, makes all the difference, you know, because then you can put the pillow, and you're very comfortable, that's not bad. But, you know, growing up, it's a pain, because, you know, the pillow falls down, and it's a mess. So, but nevertheless, we do it as men, because zechel aneis. But women, we just said, don't do a zechel aneis, they only do it if the mitzvah, like Moshe Salavitch said, is itself demonstrative of something that relates to the miracle. Reclining today is demonstrative of nothing. It's only a zecher. That's what we don't have to do. So Hayotzi Midvareinu, a very interesting approach to Afein Hayobos Haneis, whether it applies to Rice or the Rabbanon, we can't add something to the Torah itself. But Moshe Salavitch, he said, is Afein Hayobos Haneis is mitzvahs that relate to or a demonstrative act that connects directly to the miracle. And that's true of Ner Chanukah, that's true of Mikra Megillah, that's true of Haseba, I'm sorry, of Abrakos on Pesach, yeah. Well, I don't have them in print. Now, the truth is, it's not in the computer. There's a Sefer. Yes, but it doesn't exist in the Bar Ilan. There's a Sefer called Igros Hagrid HaLevi, the letters of Reb Salavitchik, Reb Yashaber Salavitchik. So he quotes in one of his letters. It's not in the computer, so I couldn't print it. It's not in the Bar Ilan. But the quotes his father. He quotes this Yisod. The name of his father. So I just put it together based on the, you know, on the chorus that he had. But I don't have the exact words. If you want, I can give you the source. Igros Hagrid HaLevi. It's called. It's available at the Swarm Sale right now, probably. And his essay, I think, is on Arbakos. I don't remember now, but he quotes. It's interesting. He starts off. He found an old sefer. Found the Turei Evan, which was used by Rekiva Eger, and he was studying this. And he quotes this. He sold. Also, part of it, I have to tell you, is not in print. The whole thing is not in print. I heard it from a Salavitchik, so, you know, maybe it's in print somewhere, but it certainly wasn't in the computer. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going a little over. It's always about late. Thank you very much for listening. And, have a Freilichem Purim, everybody.